Welcome to Good News for Today. I'm Marty Sula, your host, President of American Church Services and Marty Sula Productions. Today, our guest pastor is Pastor Larry Vogel of Martin Luther Chapel in Prince Hookham, New Jersey. Pastor will be with us in just a moment after these brief words.
If you have a problem at night going from one room to another in a dark hallway, stairways that could use illumination going up or down, or need a night light for any room, see your friends at Batteries Plus Bulbs and ask them about their new Mr. Beam Step Deck Light that lights up when anyone comes within a few feet of the sensitive bright LED light fixture that fits anywhere, offering a bright light to your darkened path. It can be used indoors or outdoors, is battery operated, fits in the palm of your hand, and even lasts up to 20 years. Call Ted and the pros at Batteries Plus Bulbs for your personal cell phone, iPhone, or domestic electrical or other energy needs. Their number is 267-583-3090. The number again is 267-583-3090. They're in the Fairless Hill Shopping Center, corner of Route 1 and Oxford Valley Road. Their hours are Monday to Friday from 8 a.m. to 8 p.m., Saturday from 8 a.m. to 7 p.m., and on Sunday from 10 a.m. to 5 p.m. So stop in today and walk in the light and not in the dark.
When you want to catch fish, wise folk know you get the best fishing spots from neighborhood fishermen. When it comes to your car and homeowner's insurance needs, you don't want to go fishing for an agent. If you need a good neighbor for your car or homeowner's insurance, do what the wise people do. Get a good neighbor like your State Farm insurance agent. In Philadelphia, that's Mark Ziegler. Call 215-753-1501 for friendly personal service and a review of all available discounts. Once again, that number for a free quote, 215-753-1501. Give Mark Ziegler, your neighborhood State Farm agent, a call today. You'll be glad you did.
From God our Father, and from our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. As we began the service, we heard the Palm Sunday reading about the crowd that met Jesus as he came into Jerusalem with such incredible enthusiasm, crying and shouting and asking for him to save them. That's what Hosanna means. Come and save us. A crowd that was so excited that some of them were throwing their garments before the donkey was riding on to give him a pathway in, and others, as one of the other gospels mentions, grabbing palm branches and waving the palm branches and throwing them before him. It must have been a grand and exciting sight. They were thrilled because Jesus was coming into Jerusalem. He was coming into the holy city, the place where the most annoying thing had been going on for far too long. The Romans had complete control. Their own troops were right there at the edge of the temple itself. Nothing went on without the Romans allowing it. And so the people were hoping, the people were praying, they were longing for someone to come and save them. They were longing for the one who was coming in to, in their minds at least, to finally set them free from this awful oppression of the Roman government. Now we turn to the reading of the Holy Gospel of St. John, chapter 12. This takes place only a day or so later. We don't know exactly what day, Monday or Tuesday, maybe. Jesus has come into Jerusalem. He comes in with this enormous parade. He comes in with the crowds on their feet shouting and cheering, pleading with him to come and save them. But what he's done is he's come in to the temple and he's thrown out the temple's buyers and sellers, not the Romans. The only thing he's done that's remarkable is that. And meanwhile, the Romans, well, they just continue to have all of Jerusalem under their thumb. It seems clear that that, more than anything else, has caused the people of Jerusalem, the crowd, to have a completely different attitude a couple of days later. There's no more cheering for Jesus. Instead, as Jesus teaches in the temple, as he does what he has done all along, teaches, as he teaches, they've become complete skeptics. Not all, but so many. We heard it in the gospel. And Jesus sees what's going on. And his word to them here, his word from Holy Week itself, is a word of warning because he knows what's going on. The light is among you for a little while longer. Walk while you have the light, lest darkness overtake you. There he stands with another crowd, a crowd that no doubt includes many of those who had been cheering only a day or two before. But it's another crowd in its sentiments. It's a crowd that is saying, well, it is saying, if you're really anything at all, prove it to us. And here's Jesus. Jesus who warns them, the light is among you. For a little while longer, walk while you have the light. Had they been listening, they would have known that Jesus had said unmistakably, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of light. There he stands in front of this crowd that day, the light of the world shining, but as he himself says, shining only for a little while. Those who were listening that day were standing in the light of the light of the world. The very light of God come from the Father. And yet their hearts were full of quibbles and quarrels with him, with the light of the world. And so when they walked away from him, there was no more light. The light that was shining was no longer a light for them. They were walking in darkness, but too blind to see. There's a warning in here for us too. For us too, the light of Christ shines for a time. But make no mistake, it can be extinguished. The Christ who was standing before him, those people that day in the flesh, is the same one who lives out the truth, who totally fulfills the psalm that says, thy word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. We have the word. The word is the light. It was the light of Christ then. It is the light of Christ now, but it may be ours only for a little while. Sometimes it can be put out in dramatic ways. For decades, communist Russia did its very best to rid the land of the Word of God, to snuff out the light of Christ. And they were pretty good at it. Very, very few people held to Christ in faith, and those who did only because they surreptitiously opened the Word that is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path, and read to themselves and their families and shared it quietly. But for most, the light went out and they didn't notice, and there was no more light. And at this very time, this very day in communist China, there is a new and concerted effort to put out the light of Christ. The communist government has published its own completely falsified Bible. And they're requiring all other Bibles to be turned into the government. But it's a Bible without the light of the world in it. without the light of Christ, yes, the light shines for a time. And for us too, maybe nothing so dramatic, but take it to heart. Because you see, believing in the light is nothing more finally than believing in the Word, because faith comes by hearing. And the Word is the light of Christ in our lives, and if we cut ourselves off from it, if it becomes something that's only occasional and gradually less and less and finally forgotten, then we are in the darkness, with nothing to believe, nothing to hold on to, blind whether we know it or not. No word, no light, no faith. The light shines for a little while, says Jesus. Believe in the light while you have it. Believe while you have it. Believe in the light, he says, that you may become sons of light. Don't take it for granted. Don't cut yourself off from the word of Christ. Don't walk away as if somehow or another you know enough and you've believed enough and there's enough for that later on. No, we live by the light of Christ. We live by the word of God. We live by the gospel. And we must hear it not once, not twice, but continually. We must see it with the eyes of faith again and again. It's why the habit of worship is so vital for our lives of faith. And why finally deciding that something else is always more important is so dangerous to the life of faith. Remember again, it was that crowd that was rejoicing on Palm Sunday, which is now standing like a bunch of skeptics, doubting the light and finally walking away from the light. Listen as John goes on, when Jesus had said these things, he departed and hid himself from them. The light has gone away. He had done so many signs before them, but they still did not believe in him. So that the word spoken by the prophet Isaiah instead might be fulfilled. Lord, who's believed what he heard from us? To whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? Therefore, they could not believe. For again, Isaiah said, he's blinded their eyes and hardened their hearts, lest they see with their eyes and understand with their heart and turn. And I would heal them. Isaiah said these things because he saw his glory and spoke of him. So that day, only a day or two after the cheering crowds of Palm Sunday, many are now walking away from the Lord they had cheered. Walking away from the light because he wasn't the kind of light they wanted. He wasn't the kind of Lord they wanted. He wasn't the kind of Savior they wanted. How narrow were their expectations? A little bit of political relief? Another change of administration, in our words today? That's all you're hoping for? You think that's finally the end all and be all? Don't be fooled. Don't be fooled as they were. Christ is the light of the world at all times, under any government, under any setting, under any regime, whether it was Rome then or whoever it is in authority over us today. That's the light we need. Not some cheap little humanly switched on light for a moment. We need the light of Christ. So many did not see the light while he was there before them in the flesh. And so many times we don't see the light or our need for it when the very scriptures are open in our hands and spoken into our ears. And yet, not all turn away from the light. Thanks be to God that, as a matter of fact, though the light goes away, it also comes back. There are other opportunities to see the light so many times. Paul was an example. We don't know, but Paul was certainly familiar with Jerusalem. We don't know when it was that he first came to Jerusalem. It's possible that he was there already at this time. What we do know is that when Paul came to Jerusalem, he came as a sworn enemy of the light of the world. And he was going to do everything he could to put out the light. He had turned from the light as clearly as anyone has ever done so. And yet the light came back on for him on the road to Damascus, where the light of the world appeared to Paul. And this time he did believe. He believed, though he was struck blind physically. He saw the light, though his eyes could see nothing. And if the light of Christ shone once more for him, then we too ought to take great hope and joy each time the light shines for us. And we too ought to realize that we might be the means to shine the light for someone else, a friend or a relative or someone we know who has pretty much turned from it. But so long as we have the light of Christ, we can also be the light of Christ for someone else. There's one more thing in this reading that we must not ignore. Just a little bit more from John's gospel. He writes, Nevertheless, many even of the authorities did believe in him. But for fear of the Pharisees, they didn't confess it, so that they wouldn't be put out of the synagogue, because they loved the glory that comes from man more than the glory that comes from God. John here is showing us that sometimes there is another response between those who gladly believe the light and those who simply reject the light and walk away from it into darkness. It's a kind of in-between thing, you'd almost have to say, a half-hearted faith. He describes it as a fearful faith. People who believed in him but were too fearful to say it. People who believed in him but weren't about to tell someone else that they believed, because they didn't want to face the earthly consequence of getting kicked out of the synagogue. It was a faith of sorts. John makes it clear. But he's not praising it. He wants us to see its true weakness. They love the glory that comes from man more than the glory that comes from God. And we need to hear this because, we're vulnerable to this half-hearted faith too. Maybe especially vulnerable to it in our world. We live in a world that jokingly says you never talk about politics or religion, right? That if you want to get along in life, you kind of don't talk much about certain things, and one of them is God. You don't want to be too noisy about your faith. And oh, that's tempting, because none of us likes those who are obnoxiously noisy about faith. But that's why it's so tempting. We might begin to think, then the best thing to do is just nothing at all. Sure, I believe, but I'm not going to wear my faith on my sleeve. Sure, I believe, but I'm not one of those people who's always going to church or telling people about God. No. My faith is a private thing. It's so private, as a matter of fact, you probably don't even know that it's there. Yes, it's tempting. That kind of half-hearted faith that believes, but it likes to be going along and getting along more than anything else. Indeed, in John's words, it likes the glory that comes from people more than the glory that comes from God. Oh, that's a dangerous faith, because it easily becomes no faith at all. And the Word of God isn't about to encourage it, even though it exists. No, Jesus' word is strong. Believe in the light, walk in the light, become sons and daughters of light. Believe, walk, be in the light. Do it because the light is your joy and your salvation. To see Christ and to see the light clearly is to see your life itself. John begins his gospel with those words. The life was the light of man. In him was life, and that life was the light of man, and it goes the other way. The light is the life of man. In him is the light. Remember that song from childhood? This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. Verse 2, hide it under a bushel? No, I'm going to let it shine. Don't let the devil poof it out? I'm going to let it shine. All around the neighborhood, I'm going to let it shine. It's a child's faith. But so often the child's faith is exactly the faith that we are called to. The faith of the child that sees, how good is Jesus. Oh, how good it is to have the light of the world. to have Christ's light shine into our lives, to have his truth, to have his word of forgiveness. Yes, his light shines the light on our sins so that we can't deny it, and then it's the light of healing. For his is the light of grace and mercy. His is the light of resurrection. His is the light that we are to believe. Believe in the light. Hold fast to the light. Don't think for a moment that the darkness is better. May the light of Christ fill our lives, especially in this Holy Week, so that as we come again on Thursday to see Christ gathered with his disciples in the upper room, in the gloom of an evening, and yet giving out the gift, the light of the supper that we will celebrate again today. Good Friday, when all is dark, and yet the light of God's grace shines so brightly. And Easter Sunday, when the light of the resurrection brings finally life and immortality to light. May the light of Christ shine on us now and always. May we believe it. May we rejoice in it. Amen. The peace that surpasses every human understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.
Guy and his cheap transmission fluid.
Seriously? My dealership just checked the brakes.
We all know how it can be to go to the wrong place for car repair.
I can't believe that check engine light is on again.
So don't risk it. Take your car to the experts at AAMCO. AAMCO.
People who know, come to AAMCO of Bristol Levittown. Make an appointment today for our air conditioning tune-up, including a system inspection, leak check, and dye test if needed, for $129.95. Simply call 215-949-1400. Call today. Metro Diner, where the locals eat. Folks who know where to go year-round for breakfast, lunch, and dinner weekly specials. They flock to the Metro Diner that's been serving Lower Buck County since 2016. Metro Diner is located at 3630 Street Road in Bensalem. They're open daily from 7 a.m. to 9 p.m. and 7 a.m. to 8 p.m. on Sundays. Takeout orders can be made by calling 215-261-7080. The number again is 215-261-7080. So whether you're getting ready for a Phillies or Eagles game, breakfast, lunch, or dinner, join the crowd in fun at the Metro Diner. Metro Diner, where the locals eat.
Set us free by the truth you now bring us. Shine.
Bible verse for today comes from the book of Lamentations, chapter 3, verses 22 and 23. It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness.